Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. What event would cause you to open the pages of your Bible and get down on your knees and cry out to God for help? If we look at the headlines of the day with wars, famines, pestilence, disease, and devastating weather plaguing the peoples of the world, one wonders what would it take for people to cry out to God and seek His help and intervention. What would it take for you? Is there anything that you could think of that would cause you to open the pages of your Bible and seek God? It seems there comes a time in the course of human events that when people ignore the handwriting on the wall for so long, they become so desensitized to the world around them that they go into a state of denial and pretend that all things continue as from the beginning. One of the things that the Apostle Peter prophesies in 2 Peter chapter 3 is that at the end of this age, some will be saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as from the beginning." And Peter goes on to say that they are willingly ignorant of the plan and purpose of God, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every day the peoples of the world are warned about the perils that the world is facing. We're warned that climate change threatens the very survival of the human race. We're warned about terrorism and told repeatedly that the terrorists are sure to launch a major attack on U.S. soil, as if we are being conditioned to expect it. There are other dire warnings concerning domestic issues. Violent crime continues to spiral out of control. American schools are in shambles. Healthcare costs continue to skyrocket. Illegal aliens continue to pour across our borders, thus increasing the burden on our infrastructure that is already bursting at the seams. And there is more. But we've heard all of this before and more. Yet we do nothing but close the windows of our minds and try to go about our business if everything is okay. But deep down inside, we know things are not okay. And sooner or later, the dam is going to break. The floodwaters are going to flood the land, and the chickens will come home to roost, as they say. So once again, I ask, what would it take for you to open the pages of your Bible and see what the Bible says about the purpose of human existence and why we are where we are in this world today? It is dumbfounding and amazing to me that people will not open the pages of the Book of Life to seek out for themselves the answers to the great questions of life. What would it take for you to open the pages of your Bible? Why would you take someone else's word for what the Book of Life says about life? Somehow, Satan the devil, the god of this present evil age, has blinded the hearts and minds of people to the extent that they are left to hearsay, human reasoning, and emotion when it comes to answering the great issues of life. These attitudes toward God and the Bible, to a large degree, stem from religious systems that have twisted the true meaning of the Scriptures into something the Word of God doesn't say or mean at all. The world of religion and the Word of God are not necessarily one and the same thing. Very few religious groups understand the nature of God and His plan and purpose for humankind. And you might ask, do you purport to understand it? Yes, I do. As a minister of the living Christ, God has revealed to us through the pages of His Bible, His nature, His plan, and His purpose. God is love, and His purpose is to bring sons and daughters to glory in His family. But very few, if any, of the great scholars and theologians of the day or of any other age really understand or have understood the nature of God and His plan and purpose for humankind. The political leaders of the day who are trying to bring their faith-based values in the political arena are immediately neutralized by the hue and cry of equal rights and opportunities for everyone under the Constitution. For example, in the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson writes in 1776, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Of course, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are not one and the same thing, but the Constitution does provide for the protection of equal rights under the law. A person running for office today will be asked if his personal religious beliefs will prejudice him in his administration and upholding the Constitution. If, for example, he personally believes that abortion is wrong, will he support Roe v. Wade, which says that it is, the Supreme Court has ruled that it is legal for a woman to get an abortion? Almost no politician will say that he or she will place his own personal faith above the law of the land. So even though a candidate may be personally convicted that homosexuality and abortion are morally wrong, she is or he is backed into a corner by the civil law. When Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, or the preamble to it, I suppose he had help with the whole document, but when he said these famous words, that all men are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights, was he addressing the moral arena of human conduct, or was he addressing the civil rights of a person? The so-called secular progressives have made certain moral issues into civil rights. So the Word of God has been put at odds with so-called civil rights. The two principal rights that are debated are, does a woman have the right to do with her body what she wishes and thus abort the new life that is her body? And should homosexuals be granted equal rights and opportunities under the law? In the debates, the candidates have been asked how their faith has helped them grapple with the great issues of life. And every last one of them will make statements about how their faith has helped them through tough times. Even though that some of the times when they talk about certain issues, some of the things they say clearly contradict what the Bible says is sin. You know, faith can be a very subjective word. You can have faith in a lot of things that are not supported by a spiritual foundation. You can have faith in your mate, your children, or in the law of gravity, and you don't jump off tall buildings. As we drive down the road at 70 miles an hour, we have faith that the person in the oncoming lane will not veer into our lane. But what about spiritual faith? What do you base spiritual faith on? I suppose that most people in the U.S. would say that they base their faith in God. If you base your faith in God, what is the foundation of that faith? It seems if there is a God, He must have a way of communicating with us. And God does speak to us through His written word. There are people, mainly preachers, who say that God speaks directly to them. But I know God has never directly spoken orally to me, but He has spoken to me through His word, and He will speak to you through His word if you give Him an opportunity to do so. According to the Bible, God does speak to us through His word. The Apostle Peter states in 2 Peter 1:19 that we have a more sure word of prophecy that we ought to listen to. And these are the words, this sure word of prophecy, are the words that are recorded for us in the Bible. A more sure word of prophecy that we should give heed to, and of course obey. The Apostle John gives us the following warning at the close of the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So when a politician or anyone else talks about their faith, You should ask, what is their faith based on? And you should ask, are they adding to or taking away from the very words of God? The prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, if they speak not according to the law and the testimony, it is because there is no truth in them. How many people today speak according to the law and the testimony? Or how many people speak according to what is perceived as being politically correct? So many people base their faith on human reasoning about God, and it's not based on the Word of God. But we need to base our faith on the Word of God. You cannot choose one passage or principle in one place and deny a law or principle in another place. For example, in the recent YouTube Democratic presidential debate, a person asked the candidates if they supported reparations for blacks based on slavery. One candidate said yes, because the Bible speaks of healing the breach, and according to him, reparations would help heal the breach. A little later, two women asked the candidates if they would support same-sex marriage. The same person who quoted the Bible in defense of reparations for slavery was quick to respond, yes, he would support same-sex marriage. Whereas the Bible says, let a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And of course, the wife is female, and the twain shall become one flesh. Obviously, there's no place in the Bible where it talks about, in the sight of God, that it is lawful in God's sight for man and man to cleave to one another as one flesh, or for that matter, for a woman to cleave to another woman and be one flesh. In fact, the Bible clearly says that it is an abomination for mankind to lay with mankind and womankind to lay with womankind. That's what the Bible says. And that's not what I am saying per se, though I believe what the Bible says, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible clearly states that homosexuality will keep you out of the kingdom of God. And I quote here from the Apostle Paul. Once again, not my words, but the words of the Apostle Paul. So we have come to that place in the course of the history of humankind, and especially in the United States of America, where we profess to believe in the Bible, where we profess to believe in God, where we have on our currency, in God we trust. We've come to that point where, do we really believe it or do we not? So here's what the Apostle Paul writes concerning this issue. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers in themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people like to quote the Apostle Paul because for some reason, somehow, they think the Apostle Paul did away with the law and he preaches by faith only. Yes, if you really understand what faith is, that is what he preached. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question of proving our faith. How do you prove your faith? If you would really like to understand the plan and purpose of God and why you were born, then you need to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? And at the same time, we'll send you the free booklet, The Road to Eternal Life. What is Your Destiny? We'll explain to you why you were born, the purpose of human existence. And The Road to Eternal Life will explain to you the steps that you need to take. You may say, oh, I've already accepted Christ as my Savior. But have you repented of your sins? What is true repentance? And what do you repent of? The Bible says in 1 John 3:4 that sin is a transgression of God's law. The Bible defines the love of God in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, as for this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So if you really want to understand the plan and purpose of God and the road to eternal life, then all you have to do is call for our two free booklets. What is your destiny and the road to eternal life? Just call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. In the first segment of our program, we've asked the question, what would it take for you to open the pages of your Bible and begin to prove what you believe in for yourself, to prove your faith? We hear of political leaders talking about their faith and how it's brought them through tough times, yet we hear people quote the Bible selectively. They quote the Bible to prove their point on this particular issue and avoid quoting the clear words of the Bible on other great moral issues of the day. Some want to argue that the Bible is archaic on the one hand, and at the same time talk about how their faith helps them through tough times on the other hand. So once again, we ask the question, what is your faith based on? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. But everyone has not obeyed the report. Everyone has not obeyed the Word of God. So do they have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible also says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for is based on the very foundational promise of God that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The substance of things hoped for, of all of the things that you hope for in your life, what is it? Well, I would hope that you are hoping for glory and immortality in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, to rule and reign with God in Christ forever and ever in the kingdom of God as glorious, radiant spirit beings in his family. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope for it because God, who has promised, God who cannot lie, has assured us that that is what lies in store for us. And then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen has to do with the Spirit of God, the great supernatural working power of God within us to bring these things to pass. The Bible also says that faith without works is dead. So, based on these passages, we could safely conclude that a simple definition of faith would be to believe God and do what he says. But we have a tendency to pick and choose what we believe God tells us to do. When it comes to good and evil, God has not changed what was good from the beginning of creation, and he has not changed what was good from the beginning of creation. That which was good is still good, and that which is evil is still evil. That is, God's immutable spiritual law stands forever. It is valid for all times and all peoples in all ages. Let's note what the Apostle Paul states about the immutable spiritual law of God. Once again, people like to quote the Apostle Paul, but they selectively quote him. And as the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, that Paul wrote some things that are difficult to understand, and many have twisted them to their own destruction. So let's notice what the Apostle Paul states about the immutable law of God. In Romans 7 and verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Why did he die when the commandment came? Because the commandment shows us what is sin, and as it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So when you break God's immutable spiritual law, the death penalty is on your head. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, that is to sustain life, I found to be unto death. Why? Because he broke it. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. What slew him? Sin. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Did the law kill him? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that is the law, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. That is the commandment. The law of God highlights and points out what sin is. For we would not have known what sin is unless the commandment had said, thou shalt not do whatever it is that God says not to do. Once again, the Bible definition of sin is 1 John 3:4. The wages of sin, sin is a transgression of the law. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul says the law is spiritual. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, that the law of God is perfect, restoring the life essence. And note what the Apostle James, the Lord's brother, writes about the immutability of God. This is James 1, verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. See, God, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, that the law of God is perfect. It is true that God has dealt with people through various administrations through the ages. But the plan and purpose of God through the ages still stands. After humankind sinned, it was necessary for God to send a Redeemer to redeem humankind from sin and death. So he promised a Messiah. So through the various administrations, the patriarchal age, the age of the law covenant, and now in the church age, God's purpose and intent was to bring us to Christ, so our sins could be forgiven and we could receive the gift of eternal life. There is only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12, and that name is Jesus Christ. So through the various administrations and through the ages, God's purpose and intent was to bring us to Christ so our sins could be forgiven and we could receive the gift of eternal life. One cannot hope to understand the plan and purpose of God by just picking and choosing a little of this and a little of that to fill the void in their empty lives. You have to look at the plan and purpose of God from beginning to end. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and receive the gift of life. So even in times past, when people will say, oh, look what God permitted during that particular time or that particular administration. Well, that does not mean that these people are eternally judged and condemned and damned forever, because God is not willing that any should perish, that every person is going to have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is not a second chance. This is a first chance, and that's what the second resurrection is all about. The time is coming in which all of those who are in their graves are going to come forth, some to eternal life and some to judgment. Of course, during that time of judgment, judgment will be a period of time in which the people who have never heard the gospel will have an opportunity to hear it preached and to accept or reject it. Now, once again, I want to ask you, challenge you, what would it take for you to open the pages of your Bible and read for yourself what the Word of God really says about life? The prophet Amos talks about the time when there will come a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, behold, the days come, says the Eternal God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Eternal, and shall not find it. The Hebrew word shema, that is translated hearing, can mean the following. One, to hear, to listen, to obey. To hear with attention or interest, to give heed. So the famine can be viewed in two different ways. One, people won't listen and give heed and obey. And secondly, the truth of God is not being preached. So we're definitely in that period of time in which people will not give heed and obey. They're not able to discern the difference between what one preacher says and what another one says. Why? Because they will not open the pages of their Bible and see for themselves what it says. Thus, they don't love the truth of God, and this makes them ripe for deception. The Apostle Paul describes these people in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They are being deceived, of course, by Satan, the devil, the god of this world. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, when the imposter, the pseudo-messiah, sits in the temple of God, saying that he is God, the Antichrist, false prophet, going to sit there, and they will deceive the world into worshiping them. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Notice what it says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Have you developed a love affair with the truth? You can't develop a love affair with the truth until you really sit down yourself and open the pages of your Bible and earnestly and prayerfully seek God. And if things continue to progress in the direction that they're going, and the secular progressives have their way, they're going to pass so-called hate crime legislation that can make it a crime for anyone to quote 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If we come to the point that the Bible cannot be quoted to define what is right and what is wrong, that will be a sad day in our beloved nation. Do we really mean what it says on our currency, in God we trust? Do you trust God enough to open your Bible and see what it says for yourself? You can be set free from fear, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of man, and debilitating negative emotions. You can know the truth, and the truth can make you free. But you will have to go to the source of all spiritual knowledge, to God Himself and the words of life. It is no wonder that through the centuries, certain religious groups who claim to be Christian kept the Bible away from the masses. They knew if the people really came to know and understand what the Word of God really says, they would lose their power and influence. Virtually every religion on the face of the earth, including nominal Christianity, teaches that man has an immortal soul. But is that what the Bible really teaches? Why would God create a soul that is supposedly good, pure, and immortal, and place it in a body that is subject to sin and death, then turn around and challenge man to save his soul? The truth is clear and truly liberating. We were created from the dust of the ground, subject to sin and death, but with the potential of eternal life through receiving the Holy Spirit, the very life essence of God. Eternal life is a gift predicated on repentance, faith, baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit. So open the pages of your Bible and see for yourself why you were born. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, What is Your Destiny in the Road to Eternal Life? All you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. 5614. Be sure to be tuned to this station this time next week for World News and Prophecy.